Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Word City Radio. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and here we are today on this Tuesday, June 24th, 2014. We've got a fantastic show coming at you today. We got the fathers from the Motherhood Diaries. They're going to be here this evening. We're going to be speaking with them and finding out what's going on with them, as well as answering your questions. The number to call in is 917-889-8206. This is Word City Radio, grown folks radio. Available as well. Those who want to get in on the chat room, we got that. You know how to get in there. Do that as well. Anybody listening that wants to, please call me. The number is 917-889-8206. Waking up next to you. The name of that tune. That's the way you want to do it. You want to wake up next to your honey. Yes. And this is Word City Radio, and here we are broadcasting. First of all, I want to apologize to everyone for last week's show. Was not able to air because of technical difficulties. But we're here this week, and we're going to make it up for you because we have our guest that was here for last week. He's going to be here as well. So what I'm going to do right now is I got a couple of calls. I'm going to see if these are some of my guests, and I'm going to start with a 918 area code. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Caria Burkhalter, one of the Motherhood Diaries authors.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderfully well. How about you?
I am just fabulous, just fabulous. And I apologize for last week. We really wanted to have the show, and I know a lot of people thought I didn't want to do it, and that was my way of not trying to do it, but that is not the way we work here on Word Sexy Radio. So I do apologize.
No worries.
So hopefully you'll accept that from me. Okay.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
I just said I'll take it.
Oh, okay. All right. So that doesn't sound too good if you say you take it. I have to redeem myself. Okay. Area code 540. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Denise Kelly. I'm calling from Virginia, and I'm also one of the authors in Motherhood Diaries 2.
Okay. Well, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fabulous, just fabulous. What we're going to do, because I got both of your mics unmuted, I want to kind of get started with each one of you and kind of explaining how you got into writing and how did you come up on this project with the Motherhood Diaries? Because I know this is part two, and were you part of the first part? So we'll be going into those questions. So we can start with whoever wants to start first, and we'll just go from there.
You can go ahead, Denise.
Okay. Quickly, no, I was not part of the Motherhood Diaries 1. I kind of got into writing, the age-old story, been writing since I've been a child. But as far as wanting to write and publish something, that didn't happen for me until the past, I would say, the last 10 years. So That's kind of when it hit hard for me, like, oh, I want to be a writer. That didn't hit me until, like, 10 years ago up until this day. So I kind of went hard with it, like, 10 years ago and been doing it ever since, trying to, find publishing companies and things of that nature and just kind of came across, really, the Motherhood Diaries 2 project. Came across it and just so happened, the Lord blessed, that I was selected as one of the authors.
Well, that's good. That sounds really good. So this is your first published project, or have you had any other books out as well?
It's my first published project. My project is being released in a couple of months, but this Motherhood Diaries 2 came first.
Okay. Okay. All right. So did you have anything else you want to say, or did you want to pass it on to your other author?
I will pass it on.
Okay. All right.
Well, this is Caria, and my story is similar to Denise's. I've been writing since I was a little girl, and my father has been telling me that I needed to continue to write for years. And I just happened to be on good old Facebook one day and ran across an opportunity to write for the Motherhood Diaries 2, and I was like, oh, my gosh, because I read the first one. And I absolutely loved it. I think I had just had my first son, and so I was able to connect with all those stories so much because it's like, oh, my gosh, somebody else goes through this crap, too. It's crazy. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, my goodness. So anyway, I submitted my story, and I'm like I said, I'm like Denise. God bless, because there was nobody but him for me to just happen across that opportunity. I'm still excited. And, yes, this is also my first time ever being published, so you cannot imagine the excitement. You can't imagine.
Understood. Okay, so let me ask you guys, okay, first, and we're going to get into the Motherhood Diaries so everybody can understand the significance by just not calling it the Motherhood Diaries for no reason at all, but just the significance of what goes on in this novel, and we're going to be talking about that. Have you all had a chance to meet Rashonda?
Not live.
I have. Since you asked that question, I didn't want to put it out there, but she is an actual former professor of mine. I went to Lincoln University, LU, in Oklahoma, and she was not a newscaster, but she did some work with one of the news stations in Oklahoma City, and she would come in and teach one of the classes that I happened to take. I think it was my sophomore year of college, so I read her first book, and I fell in love with it. I thought she was a great author, and so I kind of followed her a little bit, not heavy, I didn't buy every single book. Ooh, shame on me, I guess I shouldn't say that. But anyway, she was a professor of mine. So, again, doubly for the opportunity to come. And she also told me that she didn't necessarily remember who I was. So, you know, I got in on my own merit. So that was incredible, too.
Well, that's good. That's good. So, interesting, because you guys have done work with her. And you said that, not really had an opportunity, but I'm sure in the future you guys will have some type of interaction with her, I'm sure. She's very
yes.
nice. So have you both? Only one of you has met her briefly.
Right. I haven't met her, no.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I've had my opportunity with Miss Rashonda Tate Billingsley. I know her pretty well. She's a good friend of mine. So I was just wondering if, you know, because a lot of people get to write for a lot of these authors and different projects, excuse me, and may not have never had the opportunity. That's the reason why I asked that question. So here we got another number. I'm going to see 832 area code. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Deborah Gaffney. So I'm from Houston, Texas, but I'm in New Jersey this evening. Woo!
Oh.
Well, how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I must let you all know. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Word Sexy Radio, but I am doing my best to be a good guy tonight on the show. Because it's called Word Sexy Radio for a reason, and I'm sure y'all heard all of this before you came on, was wondering if I was going to be a good boy or not.
Yeah.
So far, so good. Okay.
You're proud
Just be
of
glad
you.
That my co-host is out of town for 2 weeks. He's out of the country. And I think Miss Cotton is going to be popping in. She's another host on the show. But I will keep my composure this evening because I know you guys heard that this was explicit radio. I'm sure
yes.
you heard that, right?
Yes.
And yet still, you still came. So what braved you to come on the show?
We want to talk about our book.
Well, we are going to talk about your book in just a few minutes. We're definitely going to do that. But just wanted to know, I see we have three of you. How many authors collaborated on this project?
25 in addition to Rashonda.
25? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Deborah, I asked a question earlier to the other two ladies. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Don't let me mess up. But I asked them, had they had the opportunity to meet Rashonda, and I'm going to ask you that question. Have you done so?
Actually, yes. I got a chance to meet with her or work with her on a project in Houston, and she's absolutely fabulous. I mean, she's just so composed. You know, you can tell that she's been she's not a newbie to broadcast and speaking to others, and then her writing is just, I love her writing. She's just a talented lady.
So let me ask you, are you trying to be sexy on here, or you just don't want to speak up on the mic? What is that? Because I'm trying to figure this out. Y'all trying to talk like me or something? What's going on here?
Maybe you just turn up the volume.
This is the Motherhood Diary.
Let's do that.
Yeah, because I know his word is sexy, and I know you said it might be some pastors and all these people listening, so I'm not cussing. I'm not doing that, although I'm trying. It's hard. Cotton, I know you're here. What's going on, baby? How you doing?
Not much. How are you? How are you doing, everybody?
Hi.
Great. Hi.
Cotton is a fabulous poet who has several books out, and she's my co-host here on the show, if you don't know her. She goes around the country, and she does poetry, and we'll get into her a little bit later. She does some of that good stuff as well as, you know, I mean, all topics, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so the ladies here we have are from the Motherhood Diaries, and they've come with the second installment of the Motherhood Diaries series, which is Motherhood Diaries 2, and I'm going to let you guys get into each of your stories and tell us how you came up with it and what inspired you as well, so that we can kind of find out about that and keep it motherhoody, I guess, right? Is that it? So who wants to be first? So if I cuss, y'all ain't going to get upset if I make a mistake and say a cuss word, are you? Because we're all grown folks, right?
Well, we've heard a curse before, so it's all
right.
Good.
So y'all cuss? If I said some shit, y'all ain't going to get upset and it'd be okay?
No. Because
I don't want nobody's pastor. I don't want no pastors on here talking about, oh, the Lord, oh, my God, and all this, you know, which I believe in God. That doesn't mean that I can't cuss, but okay.
All right. Okay, so who will be the first one? And Cotton, if you have questions, please jump in. Feel free to jump in. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to have the ladies start, each one of them, to kind of explain their story, that they what they contribute to the book, and you know how they you know how it impacted them, and as far as how they put it in the book. So, who would like to start that first?
Denise, you want to go again first?
I'll go first. It's me, Denise.
Okay, Denise, go ahead.
Okay, my story. You know, as you know, the book is it's pretty much composed of maybe funny stories or maybe heart wrenching type stories. I like to laugh, so mine is more on the comedy side of the story. But it's basically about my godson, who is, pretty much my son. I've raised him, along with his cousin. And it's pretty much a funny story of him when he was younger, just simply not listening and me having to tell him to do something more than once.
So are these all true stories that are in here, or any of the stories just fictional, or everybody's story? Is it, was that one of the prerequisites they had to have a true motherhood experience?
I believe they are true. Correct?
Mine is true. I know mine is.
Yeah, they're true stories.
Okay, Cotton, you got
mine with a twist of comedy. You know, adding to make I just made mine funny. But that's,
okay, so you have stressed funny a couple of times here, so I'm going to give you an opportunity without telling the story. What makes yours so funny? What did he do, or would that tell this? Would that mess up what the story is about?
Well, I think basically one funny thing is the fact that me having to tell him something more than once, and then I'm thinking back to my mother, how that would never have happened. She would have told you one time, and that would have been just a wrap with everything. And I'm telling him more than once, and I'm saying no, and I'm repeating myself, and I'm giving him all these chances. It's just a story full of that, and him acting like he has no sense, and I'm just chance after chance, and I'm just letting everything slide until I just couldn't take it anymore.
So how old is he?
Now he's 20. He's in the Navy.
Okay. So this happened some years ago. Okay.
Yes, happened some years ago. He's a little boy.
Okay. All right. Okay, all right. Well, sounds interesting. Sounds interesting. Who's next? Who's the next mother, the victim, that wants to come up and speak on her, show her story?
I can get mine over with. This is Caria again, and my story was as real as it comes. I tell people all the time my kids are crazy. I don't know where they came from. I know, yes, I gave birth to them, but they're nuts. So
wow.
With them, I'm serious. Like, I love my kids, but they're not. So you come home and, you're a first-time mother and people are telling you what you need to do, and you get all this, what you think is great knowledge from other mothers, books and all this stuff, and you get home and it's totally not what they said it was going to be. And I didn't understand that. I didn't understand how, especially like my mom, come on. I thought she would do better. I thought she would say, oh, yes, you need to be prepared for this and that. That's not what I got from my mom. That's not what I got, So anyway, like foreign objects in places that they shouldn't be. I didn't put that part in there, but there's some things.
Foreign objects. Wait a minute. Hold it. Foreign objects in places where they're not supposed to be. Now, where was these foreign objects? Is that on their person or? Excuse me.
Yes. And that's enough of that. So
okay.
What I'm saying, there are things that happen that you can never be prepared for as a mother, in my opinion. So that's a little bit of what my story is about.
That was definitely an opportunity for me to say something, but I don't know if Pastor Robert is on here. I could have said something, but we don't want to offend Pastor Joseph or Sister Cucumber or whoever. But anyway, go ahead. All right. Got it. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So foreign objects sticking stuff.
I know you wanted to get all over that.
Well, I was, sticking. Let me leave it alone. All right. Okay. So, who's the next lady that has a story that she wants to tell about her story?
All right. Well,
anybody who feels free. Yeah.
This is Deborah. My diary is entitled "A Mom Who Shoots from the Hip." Basically,
Mom Who Shoots from the Hip.
I am probably the one who is. I don't know, my children now that they're 18, 20, and 21, I think I'm a free spirit, and I enjoy life, so my stories are always funny. I was honored to be in Motherhood Diaries 1 as well, and my story was also funny. But it's just, you have to laugh sometimes at the things that children do. Because it's like they forget that you were a child too. And so for me, it's taken me back to my childhood and things that I tried to get away with, and I just laugh at them because, in my story, I talk about being an ADD mom and always trying to be adventuresome and creating things for them to do, and we played outdoor games in particular, and one of the games that we would play is called Hot Lava, and kids jump from different equipment. The idea is if you touch the ground, you die because the lava is on the ground, and you have to be able to get from, you know, piece of equipment to without touching the ground. Well, that particular game came home, and one night they were upstairs jumping and running around, and then I heard the loud crack, and it happened to be my leather sofa. And I went upstairs to see what happened, and they were all sitting demurely watching television. And I asked them what happened, and, of course, no one knew anything. And I sat on my couch, and it sunk to the ground.
The mysterious Yeti was in the house, right? The mysterious Yeti or something like that, right? Okay.
And so they turned in their older sister as, you know, we were jumping in the couch, we were playing Hot Lava, and it broke, and that's what happened, and we're so sorry. So I guess the line for me was, instead of, you know, cursing or something, I would say in this story, well, bang, bang, because I shoot from the hip. And I got that because my husband is kind of very Dr. Spockish. He's very logical. And I'm not. I'm emotional. I'm free-spirited. I let's go do this. And yay, let's go do this. And then I would come home, and at night we tell him what we did. And he's like, why did you do that? What? You shoot from the hip. You have no plans. And that's where the title of the chapter came from, because he will do that to this day. What are you doing today, Deborah? I don't know. But I enjoy their childhood. And it's just about enjoying your kids and being able to give them some rules and give them some standards and enjoying them at the same time. And laughing when you need to. Like when they put things in strange places. My daughter was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7, and she developed an earache. And we took her to, a ear, nose, and throat specialist, and he looked into her ears and pulled out a little green bead. And I asked her why she put the little green bead in her ear, and she said, because I wanted to wear earrings. not as incredibly sexy as you would like it to be, but
okay. So, like I said, these are interesting stories that I'm hearing about childhood and development. So, basically, the audience that you are focusing on is maybe new mothers or mothers who relate to what's going on and just want to sit back and kind of laugh about, hey, their kids act crazy just like mine do.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And my thing is, I think there are some mothers or soon to be mothers out there, or even women that aren't mothers, that would get a kick out of some of the stories, because I laughed so hard. I know I'm, of course, talking about my story, but I love a lot of The Office in the book because they did such a fantastic job. And it's like, oh, my God, you went through that. I thought my stuff was bad, you know. So I think anybody would get a good laugh out of the story.
Well, Cotton, let me ask you before we get the last author to explain their story, what is your, some of your experiences? Because I know you got kids, and I know you probably done some stuff to them too, I'm sure, huh?
Yeah, and I put my hands around their throat and tell them, when I say shut up, you better shut up.
Yeah, I believe it or not, Red Snapper has 4 children. They're all grown. And I had to do a few things. If they had a Fatherhood Diaries, I probably would have to write a story in that one and say, you know, something, especially with my oldest son, who is now 31. he just had his first child, and I'm like, all the things that you did to me, it's coming back to you.
Yes.
So, you know, he's, you know, you know, I can write some stuff, some stories with him and definitely with all my kids, but it's just interesting to hear, you know. And I don't know why they don't have, I guess fatherhood is different. And, of course, we know that with women it's different than what, you know, the experiences men have with the kids versus what the women have, because you probably have them more than the men most of the time and all that. So it's, you're going to see more things and interact a little bit more. So let's get the last story. Well, the last person that's here was, I don't know if there was supposed to be any more authors coming, but who has not spoken yet on their story?
I think the three of us have.
So everybody has spoken?
Yes, sir.
Because I thought it was okay. That's good then. Well, so I noticed, like I said, a couple of you said this was your first projects publishing. What comes next for you? Are you going to go out and do a full scale novel on a subject, or is it just you're going to stay into self help with motherhood, or what is your plans? Anybody who wants to answer that question?
This is Denise, and I have a novel that's coming out in September of this year.
And what is the genre?
So the genre is Christian fiction.
Okay. So explain that to me, because I get so many different aspects of what Christian fiction is. Is this like Reverend Black and all the foolishness he does and all the women he's sleeping with and Deacon George and
you know,
all these folks? Or is it really a moral in the end where Christ comes in and you get saved? Or is it just going to be some deacons and sisters fucking all of us? I'm sorry, screwing. Tell me about it.
Pretty much. I mean, it kind of all depends on the person that's writing their Christian fiction. To me, I write Christian fiction because I am a Christian. So I still will bring all your basic drama, but there would be no cursing, there would be no explicit sex scenes, but all your Black drama, if you will, you would get all of that.
So why you can't have explicit sex scenes? Church people don't fuck? I mean, have sex?
Oh. Yeah, they do. They
I mean,
do.
How do you make more Christian?
That's not what I want to write. How do you make more Christian?
You don't have to put the words. You still can do it like a Harlequin romance or something. The flower, he touched her flower or something.
I said
you know.
Explicit. There are sex scenes that aren't explicit. That's what I'm trying to explain.
Okay.
I don't have explicit
sex. Look, I
got to
mess with you, okay? I got to mess with you, okay? It's okay.
But,
I mean, because I hear this a lot. Christian fiction authors will say, oh, it's Christian fiction. It's got, and they'll put on the front, the church this, or I was a deacon and so-and-so, and you know, it's still, to me, a lot of those stories are still the same stuff that we're writing. It's just, they just put Christian on it, put a steeple or something on the front, you know, and so I'm just wondering, was yours like that, or was yours truly a Christian fiction novel? Because we want to know what the real, true definition of Christian fiction is.
Okay. Well, you know, in every definition, I'm sure do vary per person, but my Christian fiction is, there's a message in my novel, a Christian message that derives from the Bible. So I kind of want to give the message and make sure they get the biblical message of what the Lord wants, but at the same time, you know, something they can enjoy.
Some entertainment,
at the same time,
right.
See that, yes, that there's a real message. It's just not a story about church people and how we're acting the same as the people that's not in the church. That's not the point of it all. The point of all at the end of my novel to get the message that Christ has. For, you know, that he wants people to get.
Okay.
So
all right.
The message in this book is about forgiveness. Love and forgiveness is the true message in this novel.
Because I'll tell you one person that I know for sure who I do know personally, and that's who has put y'all books together. And she will tell you quickly that her books are not Christian fiction novels.
Hmm.
Rashonda will tell you that quickly because she says she doesn't write Christian fiction. And Victoria would say the same thing, even though their titles are the church say amen or whatever, blah, 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 you know.
Right.
They'll tell you quickly that that's not. That's the reason why I asked that question. Okay, so who else wants to indulge in that, what they're doing in the future?
This is Caria again, and the hope, of course, is that this opportunity is not just, okay, that was my one opportunity and the end. No, that's not the end of what I have. Like I said, I've been writing since I was a little girl, and I have a ton of stories that have been started. I have a problem finishing. So we're going to work on that. Don't you dare go there. Is your mind all the way in the gutter, Red Snapper, right now?
All the way.
You know, I wasn't really even thinking about that. You know, I'm going to tell y'all right now, and Cotton knows because I would have been raw by now. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not even thinking sexual right now or anything in the gutter because it's just, you guys are so perfect. It's crazy.
Oh,
but anyway.
Absolutely not.
Is that what that is?
Well, goddamn it, why can't we be adults on this show then? Because I was told that I can't dog anybody or act certain way because I would offend someone, and I don't want to do that. But let me see. We got another caller. I don't know if this is another author or 215 area code. I'm going to ask you to state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Denise Leora Madre, and I am a fellow authoress from Philadelphia.
Okay. Are you on this project?
I sure am.
I knew you were. Okay, so let's get your perspective real quick before we unless anybody wants to go back to that last question I just asked about what their future endeavor is going to be in writing, I'm going to ask this young lady who just came on to kind of give us her story of what's in the book and her contribution and what inspired her to write that.
Well, my story, you know, coming to a point of deciding what to write about was a challenge for me because I was coming at the motherhood angle from more than one perspective. Number one, I have two small children who are 7 and 5. I'm also a stepmother to 5 children. So trying to figure out, you know, whether I should talk about my role as straight-up mom or role as stepmom was really kind of challenging. And then ultimately I decided that my considerable naivete is the thing that defines me as a mother, unfortunately. So that really became the angle through which I wrote the story.
Man, what the hell did she just say, man?
keep up, man, keep up.
I'm just messing with you. I understood everything. I do have some education, but damn, why y'all coming at me like this? First of all, let me tell y'all something. Word Sexy Radio is grown folks radio. You don't have to cuss, but you can be you. That's the reason why I don't put out questions prior to you coming on the show, because I want you to shoot from the hip just like the mother who says she shoots from the hip. I want you to answer your questions truthfully the way that you are. So, you don't have to say any cuss words. If I say one, I'm sorry. But my thing is I just want you to be yourself, and I want you to relax. And let's do this, because a lot of radio shows do not do it the way I do. So I'm going to leave it there. I want you to get capped, and Cotton's going to give us a question. So, Cotton, please think of a question that we can talk about, a subject that these women we can talk about as far as a relationship-type question. So y'all get ready for that. But back to the lady who I just got this elaborate thesis from, can you tell me, so there's two perspectives in raising, in the aspect of being a step versus a real?
It's there's, very
you don't treat them all the same?
It's not a question of how I treat them. It's the fact that the two youngest are mine from birth. So I've known them their entire lives. But with my stepchildren, they were 8 to 13 when my husband and I got married. So they already had a lifetime and an experience with their own mother prior to me getting there. So
it's not
that I see them differently. It's that the approach had to be different because I wasn't starting from ground zero. I was kind of working with what I had, so to speak. So,
Professor, what college do you teach in? Because I want to know. Yeah, I got you. I have to ask you, Professor, what college do you teach in? Because you are just.
I'm sorry. This is just the way I've talked. I've talked this way since I was 3, and now that I'm an adult, it finally fits who I am. So that's a good thing.
3? You had this knowledge at 3 years old?
Not the knowledge, I guess the way of putting things together. I mean, my mom tells me stories about me reading the newspaper when I was 3, and the girls down the hall would come see me and bring their friends and say, listen to her talk, because I just like polysyllabic words. It's just what I like to say. So
I don't know how old you are, so I'm going to ask you this term, because this term is very old I'm sure you're not as old as I am. So, but the terminology of bookworm, was that something that someone gave you back in the day? Okay, so
yep,
you may
I
know that.
I embraced it wholeheartedly, because
okay.
I didn't understand
okay.
why
embraced
I should
it.
Be ashamed of that as a young black girl from the hood. What's wrong with being a bookworm? There's so many worse things a girl could be, so what's wrong with being that? You
yeah,
know?
Like this new thing they call a thought. Anyway, all right, so.
Lord.
We'll get into that later. You know, people that use that term don't even know what the term means, and it's
I don't think
they
do.
Think it means whore, but it's not whore. The letters are that hoe over there.
Yeah.
They think that yeah, is just whatever, but that's what it stands for. And it, you know, come
mm-hmm.
out, and we talked about this before. But getting back to you, ladies, and Cotton, are you there? Are you still here, Cotton?
I'm here.
Okay. Sweetheart, can you do me a favor? Because I know you always have great topics. For the next hour, we're going to, if the ladies are going to still be here for the next hour, which I hope they are, we're going to get into a subject matter, a relationship subject matter. Nothing that's going to talk about your real, true relationships. We're just going to do hypothetical. That's because that's what we do on the show. So I'm asking, I think I kind of asked that before, if that was okay to do, and hopefully that's not a problem. I don't see any other numbers on here, so I don't think there's Pastor Joe or anybody is on here that's going to know your truth. So if that's okay with you ladies, would that be all right to do?
Sure, that's fine. Yep.
Because we want to have fun. I don't want it to just be. I want to get all the preliminaries out, and I want people to be able to. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask how they can get the book. You know. And all that so that everybody can have it. And if they want to have you come in for a book signing or just, to, you know, to talk about the book, you know, people who are interested in that. And anybody out there that you want to call in, the number is 917-889-8206. This is Word Sexy Radio, Grown Folks Radio. And we will have an intermission song in between hours. But, Cotton, if you can come up with a subject, something that I know that's burning you because I know you have it, and we can discuss it. So you're going to bring that for us, Cotton?
You said relationship, though.
Well, it can be whatever you – it doesn't necessarily have to be relationship. It can be whatever you want because I know there are things that you bring.
I like
bring.
Talking about relationship stuff.
Well, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. And we're going to be coming out with a book. I know it doesn't seem like it, but we're going to be coming out with a book here on that. And we just like to kind of talk, you know, get everybody's different perspective on things. We're not going to get into sexual positions or nothing like that. Not with you girls, okay? So – if y'all were somebody who wrote, like, urban fiction or something, and that's out over there, or the Real Housewives of the Hood or something like that, then we would go into some deep endeavors of sexual whatever. But anyway, you guys, you're mothers, so you wrote the Motherhood Diaries. They're going to keep you clean. But
thank you.
There was another author, and she's a good friend of mine. I don't know why she's not on here. Her name, let me see. Her name is Nolita Brown. Where is she? Any of y'all have her? Do y'all know her personally? Do all of y'all know each other personally, or just through collaboration on the book?
I saw Carlita.
Yeah, I know you do. I wanted her to be on here because she went off on me the other day about you're gonna have all the women from the Motherhood Diaries on the radio, and you ain't told me. I said they came to me. I didn't come to them. You can talk to them. So did she write in book two, or was it just? I know she was in book one.
She was in book one. I don't think she was in book two. But I did let her know. I let all the authors of book one know.
And they can come on. You still can call them now. We got a whole hour and 20 minutes left of the show. Well, actually, yeah. So, you know, and if any of you have to leave, let me know. You know, you don't have to stay the whole time, but we'd like if you can. Because we want to get you to get the full perspective. How many of you, if you don't mind me asking, is this your first interview, radio interview? Of course, I can't see your hands, but you have to say, is this your first?
I'm raising my hand. This is Denise.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I
want you to be comfortable. Because I want you to be comfortable because, like I said, a lot of radio shows, they give you pre-questions. They do all these things. But here, when you come to this show, even when you get your future projects, if you want to come back and talk, you know, you're welcome to come back, and we will have you on, and you can speak freely about what it is that you have about your craft, because that's what we do on Word Sexy Radio. And if it's garbage, we're going to let you know it's garbage. We're going to let you know if it's good or whatever. But I'm going to put a plug in right now. I have a new book that just came out called Amorous After Dark. So if you, any of you are into erotic fiction, this is book 15 for me that has come out. Get a chance to go out there and take a look. You know, a lot of people have said, oh, I hear the police. I hope they're not coming after me. But
yeah, that's in my neighborhood. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, a lot of people have said that they've made babies, parent, you know, babies reading these books and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, erotica. I mean, but I write other things as well. But this is the book that's out of Morris After Dark. Yes, go ahead.
I have to tell you, the cover photo is pretty hot.
Yeah, I did see the cover.
Yeah. Yeah, the cover is off the chain. Yes. but, yeah, you check me out. I get a little raw. I say the words. You don't have to think them. They're there. So if that's what you're looking for, then that's what you get. But it is a story. It's not just sex, even though this book has a lot of sex in it. There is a storyline. I don't
there
just write
story.
Books.
Okay.
It's not porn. It's not porn. There is a storyline to all my books. They just happen to have a lot of sexual things going on. I've had someone tell me that in one of my books, why is it that this woman is so, everybody wants this woman, they want to be with this person, and nobody's having safe sex and blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, I tell them it's fantasy. There's no such thing as AIDS and herpes and all that stuff in my fantasy world. So you're reading because it's fiction. But
some people
are trying to read, they want to get the true what's going on in life. Yes, I understand that. But also realize that this is a hypothetical. It's not the real thing. So sometimes I think they take it to the extreme. So what do y'all think about that? We're going to ask that. I'm going to ask that question, and then I'm going to get off of me. Do you think that when you write, not necessarily just erotica, but anything you write, you want to make it as real as possible, but you also want to let people understand that they can dream. Do you have that type of aspect? Anybody want to comment on that?
I was on the plane and extremely pleased that today, and I started writing about the Mile High Club, just because it amazes me that there are people that actually call themselves members. But I don't know anything about it, but I can fantasize. I can write my fantasy. And it can be about anything. I'm kind of like Carrie. I have several projects that I haven't finished. And, you know, I kind of add to them every day. But, you know, most of them are, they're fiction. And so they're based in fantasy.
Well, to me, the definition of an author, and that's what I strive to be when I write, whether it's erotica or whatever it is, to me is to be able to take a story, not necessarily have to have experienced it, but to be able to make it so real that it seems as if you have done it before. Because Stephen King, you can't tell me, and I know he's weird as hell, but I don't think that he's actually really killed anybody. But he knows how to go in that arena. So do you have to be able to have that experience to be able to write that way? I don't think so. I think if your craft is honed and toned enough where you learn and reach out and try to get that aspect, you can write about something and not have experienced it. Now, a lot of times people try to write stuff about crime and they've never done it. If you don't do your research, of course, it's going to show, because there's going to be always somebody, especially writing science fiction, that is probably the hardest subject to write, because when you're writing about things working, those people that read that are Trekkies or people that are into that kind of stuff. They're going to check and see if that is feasible scientifically, can happen. So you got to make sure that what you're writing, you know, if you're writing about an area, make sure you got the streets down and know the area a little bit. Even if you've never been there, do some research and find out. I know I'm not telling you guys how to write. I'm just saying a lot of times people, they don't do that.
So, I think there is something
doing a research.
I'm sorry.
Research is key, even if you've never, you know, done the exact, you know, whatever you're writing about, because everything we write about, I'm sure we haven't actually done everything that we write about. But as writers, you have this creative thing going on in your head where you can tell a good story, but you want to make sure your information is matching up and it is true, because I am the kind of person that will probably look something up that you wrote to see if that even factual.
Yeah, especially if you're writing about a city. If you've never been to that city, you know, you need to make sure you get some, go to look at a map and something and kind
yeah,
of, you know, you know, put some
streaks go on with the fiction.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, because, you know, you're writing about Atlanta. You've never been on whatever street down there. I mean, I've been there, but I don't know all the street names. But I'll use Kansas City because I'm in Kansas City. If you're going to write about Kansas City, make sure you know the main streets like Troost, Prospect. These are the hood streets that people know about. And if you're writing about, especially urban fiction, and you're talking about something that goes on in Westport, if somebody knows the city, they know Westport and they know what's going on. So I'm just, you know, using the example. But, yeah,
I think
you
there is something to be said when you write that that you can write something that you haven't experienced, but if it's coming from a place of emotional authenticity, then that can almost cover the fact that you haven't actually experienced it yet. I read somewhere that, you know, if you're writing a story regardless of what it's about, they often suggest that you write what you know. And like you were saying, Stephen King obviously doesn't know what it's like to murder a person, but we've all
felt something.
He might, for all we know. But we've all felt something so acutely that we had this boiling rage where we just wanted to lash out at somebody. And if you take that emotion and push it to its furthest extent, then you may be able to get inside the mind of a murderer beyond what you might be able to Google or look up in the DSM-4 or something like that.
Right.
There is a balance between, you know, researching what you don't know, inventing the rest, but then making sure it's grounded in something that's emotionally authentic.
And that's one thing that I had a problem with when writing something about, and I'm putting it out there, I'm sorry, like a homosexual or gay. I'm not that way. I don't have anything against those who are. But there have been some subject matter that I had to write about that, because if you're going to write erotica, one thing I've learned, you can't just stay on one type of sexual experience. You're going to have to put all types, because if you're reaching everyone, you're going to have to put something in there to that aspect. Even though you may not condone or participate in that type of thing, you still got to do research and find out. So that was like one of the hardest challenges, to write a gay scene or scene of that nature. You know, it's easier to write two women, but, you know, to write two men having sex, you know, to be able to do that was a big challenge to do that, because it's something I've never done and don't desire to do. But I am a writer, and I know that I can write about subject matter that I have never experienced and make it a real reality. So that's what I strive to do, and that's what I was saying. So, okay. All right. So
I agree with you all.
Excuse me? I'm sorry.
I agree on you all with that. I think as authors, we can tend to be like actors and actresses. We come up with things and act out. For them, they have a script, but for us, we make the script. You know, so
well,
yes,
yeah,
we have
and my characters actually come to me and tell me what they want to do.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have that problem. I have characters that talk to me and they tell me, well, this is how I am and this is what I want to do. And you know, if this works, fine. If not, then I don't know. And then I have to talk to this character. Maybe people call me crazy, whatever. But I have to make them as real as possible. They have personalities. They have traits of things that they do, whether it's some uncle or auntie that you had or whoever you're writing, different pieces of different people that you're putting together to make this character. You know, my characters actually come to life and they'll say, I ain't dying in this book this time. I'm going to live. So you've got to come up with somebody else who's going to die, because I ain't doing it this time. It'll be somebody else or whatever, and then I'll decide if I'm going to agree with them or not. I'll tell them, no, you are dying, or no, you're not. I'll let you live or whatever. You know, but, I mean, that's just what I do. I don't know if anybody else has that crazy notion of how they work with their characters.
Yeah, I guess we all crazy then.
Yeah.
If that's the case, we're crazy with you. I'm the same thing with my characters, and they linger around even when I'm done with them and when I'm moving on to a new project and I'm still thinking about old characters and what they're doing. So it's kind of a crazy thought, but I guess writers and authors clearly understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
not, you know, all the way crazy.
Right, right.
I think that's the beauty of allowing your imagination to live, and I think you see a lot of people who are either afraid to use their imagination or just absolutely have none. And I feel sad for them. I think it's wonderful to allow to be creative and use your imagination, and that's the difference between authors and, you know, actors and people who write poetry and, you know, people who paint. They're being challenged by their imagination. Does that make sense?
So Cotton is here. She's a poet, and I want to get her to elaborate on her aspect of how she comes up with her, because she has some awesome work. She has awesome work, and I've been knowing her for how long we've been knowing each other now, Cotton? About 7 years?
Yeah, just about.
And Cotton was we've been around for a while. So what do you think about that, you know, with the poetry aspect of creativity? Because you are very good at that. Can you give us your side of that?
I think for, like, urban fiction and poetry is different because a lot of the way a poet writes, a lot of it comes from the heart. So it's not necessarily, they don't have to, it's not that they're not, that we're not creative. You know, but yeah, we're not building characters because these are things that are most likely happened in somebody's life or our own lives. And
right.
We're just out there, you know, in a poetic form. So it's different because urban fiction has mm-hmm. to, you're writing a story, you have to make up a lot of different characters, you know, at one time to put the book together. But with poets, we put together one thing at a time, and it's usually based off something we're feeling, we've seen, or somebody else is going through.
Interesting.
I think
okay.
the unifying characteristic would probably be that both in poetry and in novel writing is that the author or the poet is a conduit through which some sort of authentic emotion is flowing. Because I do think in poetry it's really, as she was saying, it's not necessarily, you know, all these different people, but it's just this one true emotion, whether it's despondency or anger or passion or whatever. But the poet is kind of the conduit and then the means through which this emotion is translated for somebody else to receive it. Whereas with an author, they're doing the same thing, but they're just working with a much larger cast of characters and with a much larger canvas, but they're essentially trying to do the same thing.
Right. And you know, and tell the story. We tell the story in a shorter version, but, you know, urban fiction, they tell it in a broader range because you want to get the whole, you know, from the grass to the sun, whatever's going on in the background, you know, because you want them to see that coming through the book as well.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think poetry's harder. And I mean, I'm a writer, nonfiction, fiction. I'm a songwriter also, but poetry, unless it's in, you know, iambic pentameter or a sonnet, I suck at it because I don't know what it is that poets have this other sense where they can just get to this certain place. But that's one of the reasons I admire poets so much is because it's like they kind of distill all these different things down to this, like, one truth. And when you read a good poem by a good poet or poetess, you know it when you're reading it because other times you're just like, okay, so you just threw some random words on a page and called it a poem. Okay. But then you get something that really resonates with you in a way you can't even articulate, and it's like it's magic when that happens. So I really admire poets and you know, a lot because they're able to do that.
Well, Cotton, let me put you on the spot real quick, Cotton, because I always brag about you wherever I go, especially when I'm talking about Word Sexy Radio. So if do you have something you can give us real quick before we go into intermission?
Please.
I always put her on the spot. She gets upset. I shouldn't have looked at that picture of you that's on Facebook you just put up there. Anyway, all right, so you just put it up. Anyway, all right, so go ahead and bring us something real quick, something sensuous or whatever that you have on your mind.
This is a little bit different, probably, but I like it, so, you know.
Oh, okay, all right.
I watch the rainfall, and in the movement of his wet silhouette, his eyes and smile is what I could see. Clearly, God whispered to me that this man needed my healing. See, behind him was his past, but I could see the love, the joy, the pain, the broken hearts, and even some unhappiness. And all I wanted to do was to embrace him. See, the rain only covered his tears, and the smile was temporary, so it would soon disappear. And my womanly senses said that he needed me and that I have the ability to heal his emotional wounds. Not like a mother heals her child, but like a woman who stands strong by his side because that's what he desires. See, he didn't need to be told what to do. God took care that he guided me to you.
It's not my job to make up for what other women have done in your past. I'm not to blame. There's a reason those relationships didn't last. They made room for me. It's my position to make sure that whatever future we have won't hold a cloudy forecast but only a chance of rain. And the sun will shine on your heart again and you will regain some happiness. Your pride will be put aside. The pain will subside, or maybe it will just die so you can feel my love for you. I open my arms to embrace, to hold, for you to know that in me there's loyalty, love, and trust. I'm your pot gold on the other side of that rainbow. So when you need me, reach for me. But forgive them first. For you to hurt is much worse. Wherever we go, we'll go together. If heaven can wait for me, then I can wait for us. See, I am your queen, and you are my king, literally. See, you sit on the throne, and I stand by your side. Your eyes will dry. The tears will subside. The sun will overshower your pain, because in me, you found love again. Softly spoken.
Very nice.
So we're gonna take, we're gonna give him a name and give him a face. We're gonna make him a person. That was great.
I loved it.
I know.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna need that. So
he's a character in my head now.
I mean, you got me over here in tears, so I'm going to need to be able to read that.
But see, we can all relate to a guy that we've met or somebody in our family or maybe a friend who is holding on to the pain. And then we as women, we want to fix them. So we come along and we think that it's our job to heal them from what they went through before, when it's really not. You know, because we take on their hurt, and now we're all hurting together. So we unite.
Wow.
How can we purchase some of your work?
I'm on Amazon, or my website is softspokenpoet.com. I think
okay.
Red was hoping for me to do something a little sensual, but...
No. That was absolutely magnificent. Actually, that was a rare form side of you that I really knew was there in the past and always known was there, but it was really, 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 really sexual, sensual. I liked it that way, too. Because, see, sexuality and sensuality, or whatever, that's not even a word.
Sensuality?
It could be.
You know, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual scene. It can be whatever. That, to me, was sexual.
It doesn't
that
have
you cared
to be
enough about this person. There you
right.
go. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to let you ladies ponder on that and get your character that you might want to create from that right quick while we go into an intermission. And then when we come back, we're going to get into our subject matter with Cotton. We're going to have her bring up whatever the subject is and kind of discuss that. And also I want to give you guys a chance to tell people how to get your book, and if they want to get you for a book signer, how I can contact each and every one of you, if that's okay. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to get this intermission in, and then we're going to go from there, okay?
Right on.
Okay.
I'm making up a brand new story. Ooh, I'm
Jasper, and he's got that experience going on out there, so that's somebody else by him. So we're back with the authors of Motherhood Diaries, and we also have Ms. Cotton, who is my co-host. We're here this evening, and we're going to get into subject matter with her in just a second, but I just wanted to say again to the ladies, I apologize for last week not being here. We had some technical difficulties that caused us not to be able to have the show, and you know, I hope you guys forgive me for that, because I really wanted to talk to y'all last week, and I know that y'all probably thought I didn't want to talk to you because you guys are straightforward and no cussing and talking shit and all that, but anyway, and I cussed anyway. All right, so I'm just glad to have you guys back, and we're going to go forward. Cotton, are you still here, or did she drop? Let me see. Are you still here?
I'm here.
Okay. So what do you have for us this evening as far as the subject matter? Are the ladies all still here?
Yes, sir.
All righty. So we're going to get into some raw stuff, not real deep raw, because I know y'all don't want to go deep raw, because, like I said, Sister Cabbage might be on here, and she might go back and tell Reverend whoever, and you'll have to repent when you go back to church. But anyway, all right, so here we go. What do you got, Cotton?
I actually wanted to talk about, because the ladies were on and they were speaking of children, I wanted to talk about how we all feel about a step-parent disciplining our children.
Good subject. And I think we have a step-parent on here as well. So let's talk about it. How does that work? Okay, so we'll look at it like this. Before we get into it, let me kind of lead up to it. You get married, you love this person, and you want to love them with their children, this male and female, doesn't matter which side. Most of the time it's a male coming in. The kids kind of accept you. You know, you got this relationship, and everything is there. Everybody's done whatever. And now it's time to be that figure, not replace a father or a mother, but just be that figure. And if nothing else, just be a grown-up and let them understand that you are a grown-up, that you just can't be ran over. And the kid tells you, you ain't my damn daddy. You ain't my mama. You can't tell me what to do. What do you do? What's this about? Let's talk about it.
Well, I think the stepmother should go first.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, stepmother. Come on, stepmother. Because I've been a stepfather. Actually, I know how it is. So, but go ahead, stepmother. Still here?
Sorry, here I am.
Okay.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, come on.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
When my husband and I got married, my youngest stepson was 8 at the time, and my oldest was 13. So there were 4 boys and 1 girl in the middle. And my husband and I, when we were engaged, we set the tone for them going in. And one of the first things I said to them was, let's just get this very clear. I am not here trying to replace your mother. I'm not expecting you to call me mom. I'm not expecting any of that. But your father and I are a unit. So what he says is the same as what I say. So there
did
wasn't
you say it like
any...
that?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because this is how I am
okay.
All the time. So
I know. I'm messing
them...
with you. Okay.
I'm used to it. That's how my brother treats me. But
okay.
Okay. I'm so used to it by now. But I really had to put that out there before we even moved in together. Not that it stuck, because, you know, with kids in one ear and out the other, but there wasn't any of that you ain't my mom type stuff, not to my face. Now, what they said upstairs in their room is between them and the wall, but I had to make sure that any time discipline became an issue, I went to my husband first in the early years, because yes, I'm his wife. Yes, we're in love. And yes, they see that. But at the same time, I'm just this woman their father married. And
right.
I really don't have my dad's wife. Exactly.
Right.
So there is no rapport between me and the kids. One of the things that I looked at when I was considering the essay is that the definition of stepmother is a woman who marries the child's father. That definition does not necessitate a relationship between the stepmom and the child. That's something the child has to decide they want. So if you go in there guns blazing trying to run shit or whatever, oops, sorry.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Sorry.
She said a cuss word. God damn it.
It's
Word of Sexy Radio now. Guys, oh boy, I tell you. All right.
This is just something I guess that's real dear to my heart, because I think it's a mistake that well-intended step-parents make a lot. They feel that in order to kind of assert themselves that they have to, you know, kind of ram the iron fist down. And that is the absolute wrong approach, because you may be that person, that child's father's spouse, but you're just a stranger. And until y'all have a rapport, it doesn't matter if you're right. It doesn't matter if the child needs to be disciplined. If you, you know, go in there too hard before the relationship is established, you're going to damage your relationship with the stepchildren. Now, at this point, my youngest stepson is 18. I mean, it's 15. My oldest stepson is 22. And my relationship with each of my children, they're fantastic, because when I was wrong, I said I was wrong. When it was time to discipline, I disciplined in a way that was, you know, appropriate, and in a way that my husband sanctioned. And there were times I had to take it on the chin, that they rolled their eyes or whatever. And I let them have that, because I had to say to myself, how would I feel if my father married somebody that he clearly is in love with, but she ain't my mom? I would need time to adjust to that. So I think giving kids a chance to do that is essential before you even start trying to, you know, hand out discipline.
So how far in advance should that happen in the relationship?
The discussion?
When you moved in, were you married and then moved in, or was there a prior time in between? You see what I'm saying? When does that get established?
Yeah. The discussion with the children happened right after we got engaged, which was in April of 2006. We didn't move in together until the end of that year. And then we got married 2 months after we moved in together. So it's so funny you mentioned this, because the day we moved in, my oldest son called his mother on the phone, and he was very excited about moving in. But after getting off the phone with her, he turns to me and says, can I go to my mom's house? And I'm like, I don't know, because my husband and I had not yet set the specific parameters of what I was allowed to give them permission to do. He wasn't there because he was getting stuff from the other house. And so I'm sitting there like, I don't think I have permission to give you permission to leave the house right now. And they all looked at me like, oh, okay, that's what this is going to turn into. And it was like everybody's mood shifted, but it was day one, hour one in the house. As soon as their dad wasn't there, they got on the phone with mom, and here I am in the position of authority. And I just always would defer back to what my husband and I had discussed. So if we hadn't discussed it, I didn't have an answer. But if we had discussed it, I had to go with the answer.
So what if the kids ask you that, and or they get mad at you and they call the other parent to try to get them to get you? What do you do about that?
Well, when they did that, what would happen is my husband would he would intercept that call, and he would reiterate to their mother in front of them, just like, I don't set the rules at your house, you don't set the rules at my house. So if my wife says no or my wife says yes with my co-signing, I understand why they reach out to you, because you are their mother, but you don't have any jurisdiction over here. And that was something that I appreciated, that he did it while they were there, because one of the things that did start to happen once the relationships all got, you know, kind of ironed out between us and the children's mother, is that they started still trying to pit one against the other, because kids will do that if they think they can get away with it. But my husband just wasn't having it. And once they came to see that, it was just like, oh, okay. We don't really have a choice but to step and fetch it, because daddy ain't having nothing else.
Well, you know, they gotta try it and see if it's going to happen. So, you know, that's the way it is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So anybody else experienced something like that?
I haven't experienced
or
it.
Want to experience it, or don't give a fuck. I don't know.
I think,
okay, go ahead.
With kids, regular kids, your own kids are going to try you. So as a stepmother, I don't have the experience, so please keep in mind this is coming from that place. But there has to be some sort of guidelines, and I love how you and your husband set it up, Denise, because there would be no way that I'm going to be someone's mother. That is still tacked on there. I don't care if there's a step-in-law, any kind of other part in front of that. If I'm someone's mm-hmm. mother, I need to be able to reprimand you whenever it's necessary. So
yeah.
I love that you all set that up, and I think that should be in any relationship. You're going to have to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Put it out there. This is what I think we should do. Y'all discuss it and then move on.
And even some of the time, I had to learn to fall back, because one of the things that made our situation unique is there was my husband and his 5 children. So it was as if they were already an established family, and I was the new jack on the scene. I was the one that was trying to learn how they were, and then I'm trying to fit into this existing dynamic where they've been doing things with just the 6 of them for a long time. And with my background and perspective on things being very different than their mother's, that was
you was in love with him.
Yeah, I was. Still am. And,
you say he had 5 kids?
He had 5 children, yep. 4 boys,
you came into a... Look, I'm you know, I got to play with you, okay? Don't take this seriously, okay? You came into a... Now, most women, they want men to do this kind of thing, but you never hear a woman coming into a relationship where the man has got 5 kids and she coming in. You didn't have any children at the time, or you did?
No, I had no children at the time.
Wow. Did you give him some afterwards?
I did. We had 2. A
boy and a girl. Wow, you are... Damn, boy, as you get the trophy. Okay. All right. That's great. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because it just don't happen. But, you know, you always hear a lot of women want a man to do that.
Right.
But a woman doing that is almost unheard of.
Yeah. People thought I was crazy.
He was putting it down. I had to give it to him. Okay.
Yes, my dude. Yes. And the thing is, it was, I'm trying to be clean. But the thing is that, when most women were interested in him and would find out about the children, they were kind of like, yeah, holler at me when the youngest one graduates high school. I was
right, exactly.
So, I was intrigued, and I said to myself, what kind of man must he be to be a single father of 5 children? You know, all from his ex, you know, from his ex-wife. It wasn't like he was trying to repopulate Philadelphia or anything. He was married before they got divorced. And when I realized that he was a single dad, it only made him more attractive to me.
Attractive.
And I just, yeah, it just was because I thought, because I had a fantastic father, I still do. And so fathers have a special place in my heart. And any man who identifies himself as a father first, that was just, honestly, it was the sexiest thing I'd ever heard. I was just like, you have 5 children? Like, seriously? And I was just so intrigued by that. And you know, like I said, everybody thought I was nuts. But, you know, 7 years, 7 kids later, they realized, no, she meant it. She knew what she was doing.
Yeah, but why is that nuts when a woman wants a man to do that? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
a man need to take me and my kids. So why would that be nuts? See what I'm saying? I mean, yeah.
And there's also the fact that I didn't have any children and, you know, people looked at that like I was also just coming out of a relationship, so most people assumed this was just like the worst rebound in the history of ever, and it wasn't. It just so happened that God brought this amazing man into my life at a time when I really wasn't looking, and he happened to come with 5 children, which, bonus for me, I wanted a lot of kids but didn't want to turn my body into a factory, so this just worked out all the way around.
Interesting. Okay, Cotton, you running this...
I brought the topic up because I am a product of being a child. And I've had to, prior to marrying my ex-husband, I had to deal with his children, but his children just didn't want to be bothered with anybody. So you know, I think that it's always up to the parent, and I think one of the ladies said earlier, it's always up to the parent to join together so that the children know that they're not going to be able to run over, because a lot of mothers, single mothers, especially when you've been a single mother for a while, it's very difficult to allow a man to come in and then take over and try to be that father figure to the child
right.
if he's not also showing the child love, because there has to be that balance.
Right.
You know, and then some, I think for some men, they don't know how to do that because these aren't their children.
Right. And it's funny you mentioned being a stepchild, because my parents, I had an amazing childhood, but my parents are divorced. And even though my dad and his fiance aren't married yet, there were times when I would kind of get in my own head, like, why is this so difficult? And I just felt like I couldn't understand their perspective. And then I had to put myself in their shoes and say, you are technically also a stepchild now. So So even when, you know, wearing my mom hat didn't necessarily yield the results that were beneficial to the kids or to me, I had to step back and put my stepchild hat on. And I often tell them, I don't understand exactly how you feel, but I understand sort of how you feel because my parents are divorced. So if there, because there was the whole, you're here and my parents can't get back together because you're here, that energy existed also. And I gave them the room to feel that openly, not disrespectfully, but I gave them leave to feel that because that's an honest, expected emotion, that they're looking at it like, if this woman wasn't in the picture, my parents would be back together, which is an untruth, but I understood why they felt that. And I think the reason my relationship with my stepchildren, the reason those relationships are healthy now is because I learned eventually to give them the freedom to feel what they were feeling without worrying that if they felt it for too long, then I was going to feel differently about them. They always knew. Miss Denise doesn't see that she has two kids and five stepkids. Miss Denise has seven kids. And because they always knew that, even when they couldn't really understand it, the relationships were able to develop the way they were supposed to.
Hmm. Wow. That's great.
That's good.
You know, I'm glad to hear this side, really. I'm serious. I know it may not seem like I'm serious, but I am, to hear this side of it, because you never hear the female side of how it is. It's always, you know, the man, like I said, coming in and having to accept her children and going for, you know, his perspective. And then they don't really talk about it, as you, as y'all said. You know, a guy comes in, he don't really know how to do it because if he doesn't show that he's an authoritative, they're going to run over him. If he does, then it might be the woman may not want him to yet. Or, you know, it just depends. Because sometimes you might meet somebody and they don't want you to discipline the kids. That's why I asked you that question. When did y'all talk about doing it? Because that has to be something, definitely it has to be established before you get into the relationship as far, you know, I mean, it should be. I'll say that because sometimes people don't. They just get married and then they deal with it after they're married.
And the thing is, he actually said to me early on, he said, contrary to what a lot of people might think as they're looking at the situation from the outside, I am not marrying you to get a mother for my children. They have a mother. I'm marrying you because I want you in my life and I realize that you care about my children and I know that you being in their life will be a benefit to them. But as the boys aged, I really did step back from quote unquote discipline, and it was really only on I'm the only parent in the house available to, you know, administer discipline at this moment. And it was usually in the form of the answer is no, talk about it with your dad when you get home. Because they always had to know, I'm not here to upset the balance of what y'all were doing before I got here. Because then that creates a whole different dynamic that I didn't want. But there were times when I'd watch the way he was going about it, and I'd be biting my tongue thinking, I would do it differently, but I would always fall back on what he told me when we were dating. I'm not marrying you to be a mother to my children. I don't expect you, I'm not demanding that of you. Now, because he knew me, he knew that I would want to mother them, whatever that looked like for me, but he gave me the freedom to kind of let that develop organically. And because I was able to do that with each of the children, the youngest with autism especially, I think that's where the bond formed most strongly, because they were able to kind of see it with each child differently. Whenever it came down to discipline, I got to see how the one kid would say to the other, well, man, you know you were wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You know Miss Denise ain't trying to be hard on you. You know she's just looking out for you or whatever. And hearing that to me was better than, you know, it made the eye roll worth it when I hear them defending my decisions to each other.
Okay, well, this question I have, how did you kind of decipher when was the right time to actually get into that or not? Because like I'm saying, I guess the question I'm saying is if you do it too quick, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. If you don't do it quick enough, then they think they can get over on you, that they think, oh, she is just my dad's wife and she ain't nothing. You know, I mean, when do you make the move, I guess?
I actually think I could have waited a bit because when Horace and I moved in together, I happened to be pregnant, and I had hyperemesis. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's essentially like being food poisoned for your entire pregnancy. And
wow.
I was it's not morning sickness. Like, it lasts all the time, and smells will trigger it. Too much activity will trigger it. And so I was a real cranky pants when we moved in together and when we got married. So in that first year, honestly, the oldest three moved out and moved in with their mother. And I looked at that like, oh, crap, I've totally ruined it. But what I realized in time was it wasn't Miss Denise's discipline. It wasn't the fact that I was pregnant. It was that Miss Denise and my dad run their house with rules. There's restrictions and responsibilities. Mom's house is like Xanadu. You can do whatever you want over there. So when the door opened for them to move in with mom, they went over there. But what was interesting is that they eventually came back understanding that the rules were still in place. But it took me some time not to feel like I had done too much too soon. There were times when I was an emotional nutbag. I mean, I was pregnant and I'd gone from zero to six kids in the span of I do. I was allowed to be a little nuts sometimes. But when I realized it, I would go to them and say, you know what? That was too much on my part. I apologize. I didn't mean it. And even just because they realized Miss Denise will apologize when she's wrong, unprompted, that took some of the sting out of it if I did go a little bit too far. And it was always verbal. It would always just be me, you know, saying something more than once or, you know, perhaps saying it at a time when they weren't really supposed to hear it. But because I was humble enough to apologize to them when I felt that I was wrong or that I didn't understand their perspective at the time of the incident, that really smoothed the way for them to understand she's not trying to be perfect. She's not throwing herself out there like she knows everything. She's just as, you know, trying to do this as best she can, just like we are.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And like you said, if nothing else, it shows them, well, she does admit when she's wrong and stuff. So, yeah, at least we can, you know, get that. So, yeah, that probably did break the ice a little bit. But it's interesting. That I met a woman that would actually, you know, go into a relationship with a man who has that many children. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome because you don't hear that all the time. And I'm glad you shared your story with us. But nobody else has been in that situation. Everybody's with their own kids and husband, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think I was cut out for that at all.
I'm a stepchild, but.
Wow. Well, you know, I've been married a couple of times, and I've been through those kind of situations as the man coming in. And to me, you definitely got to make sure you got all these aspects. And not only with the man, I mean, I guess it could be with a woman too, but people don't look at it with a woman coming in like you did and sons being there and a woman touching the boys or anything like that. But, you know, I think men get this thing. Well, he's coming in, she trusts him, whatever. Then you got these other people that might think are family members or something that might think, well, make sure he ain't trying to touch the girls and all that stuff, you know,
Yeah. That
kind of thing. So I don't know. That's the kind of thing that I kind of saw with some of the experience I had. Although I'm not that kind of person, you still get that kind of thing,
right.
I think. And then you have to prove that you're not that. And, you know, it's just a whole bunch of stuff. So I get what you're saying. Yeah. So what do y'all think about that?
Help me understand that, Rick, because that would be my problem. If I were a man and you're going to tell me I can't discipline your kid, if I'm the father in this household, I need to be able to do that. So how did you handle that? I think these mothers, and I'm not coming from a place that I understand because I haven't been in it, but I think the mothers need to allow the man to discipline. You know, if you let him tap that, he needs to be able to tap them kids too.
I agree with that.
And that's true. I had to let that be known. We had to sit down and talk to the kids together with the mother there. You know, everybody all as a family and say, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to have it. You know, I'm not, like you said, I always would let them know I'm not here to replace your dad. Your dad is your dad, you know, whether he's alive or gone. Because I've been in both situations where one father has passed, the other I was in another relationship, and that father was still alive. But the thing is you have to let them know that, you know, you're not here to replace, but I am an adult, and I am the head of the house, and we are here to be a family, and I have your best interest at heart. I'm not going to tell you something that's going to hurt you. And you get the same thing. They're going to try you and see, well, let me see if he'll let us get this. I already asked Mama, and she said no. So I'm going to see if he do it. Then it'd be on him. You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
he goes through all
yeah.
those things, and you have to let him know. I said, no, well, did you call your mother? Did you ask her? Oh, they get mad when you do that. And then it's like,
mm-hmm.
okay, we can't get over him on this one. So, you know,
right.
I would get with her and say, well, you know, they tried to do this, and, you know, you got to let me know. What is it that you want me to be able to do here? Because I'm not going to be
right.
a man in this household and not be a man. They need to see what a man's position is, whether it's a father or not, especially if you allow me to be in their life. Because you said I do. You let me move in and to be in this capacity. So don't let me do that, and then I don't have the power. Now, I was in a relationship that was like that, and it was like, well, the kids wanted to do stuff, and they would ask me, or they would say they're going to call their mom because she wanted them to call her to ask her, and even though I'm sitting there. So I'm like, so I'm just the husband. I'm not nothing else. I'm just mom. And they would introduce me. This is my mom's husband. You know, I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, wow.
You know, what is this? You know, so it was like, okay, what do I do here? I'm not gonna have any power of authority. I'm just somebody that's in here fucking you, and that's it. And the kids see that, and they're like, okay, you that's all he is to her, is her husband or her sex piece or whatever.
Wow.
So,
that falls on the mom. That falls on the parents.
Yeah, it does.
He has to be the one to enforce certain rules on them. Even if they don't call you dad, it's more than just that, you know.
Yeah. Well, how I ended up getting out of that relationship anyway was the woman was still in love with the husband that passed away. So that's the reason why she was holding all this back from me. I guess she wanted everybody to know that they went. Like, she would introduce the kids. These are not his kids. These are my husband's, something's kids. And, you know, he's just, you know, she would actually do that.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what the hell am I doing in this relationship? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they can see that them kids ain't mine. Hell, they was black as fuck. And I'm light-skinned. If you've seen my picture, you know how I'm like, they know they ain't mine. Why you got to tell them that? We're supposed to be a family.
Wow.
Does it matter if they're my kids or not?
Wow.
And let me say one last thing, I believe
it's low. That's why they introduce you as my mother's
exactly.
husband, because
right,
the mother
because
did. I think that's up to the mother
exactly.
to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. She would plan trips to go out of town and don't tell me to the day they leaving. I'm like, y'all leaving town or leaving me here and not letting me know? I didn't know what the fuck I was doing that shit. I was like, let me get up.
What are you doing?
I need to write a book about it, actually. But anyway,
it
was a crazy-ass relationship. It was a crazy-ass relationship.
You better
anyway,
write it before we write it.
Go ahead and write it. I don't care. It's fine. It's
funny.
Fine. But the thing is, it was just amazing.
I'm glad you got out of it, because that's really emasculating.
I
mean,
yeah, it was.
And the thing is, it's such a double standard, because a woman would never allow herself. I mean, the neck snapping and the fingers and all that would raise up if she felt a man was playing her like that. But when women get hurt, sometimes they feel that they're justified in dumping all over the next man whatever they're carrying from the ex, and that's just totally unfair. That's
right.
Unfair.
Wow, I agree.
It is unfair. Yeah.
So.
Wow.
I went through that. Actually, Cotton, when we met, I was just at the end of that, going close to the end of that relationship when we met. So you know a little bit about it, because I talked to you about it, and it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
She was just fucking crazy. Anyway, that's what happens when you get in and you let just sex or whatever love get in, and you don't really talk with the kids, you know, and then. You get in there, and then here you are. You know, that woman is not going to let you. Go ahead.
But see, all of that is important, and I think that's probably why I like to talk about relationships of all time, because men and women don't have those sit-down conversations. The sex is good. We get along just fine. Okay, but what about other aspects of it? Like, where do we want to live? Where do we want to spend the rest of our lives? Are the kids going to be okay? We should have this conversation with, I believe in having conversations with my kids, even though they don't get the final say. I want to know where their heads are so that I can deal with everybody so appropriately. And I think that it's important to have those conversations that men and women don't think they should have. I hate that, and I posted it on my page. Just go with the flow. No, we need to have a plan. We need to have a plan on what it is that we're going to do. I don't want to just go with the flow. Right. There are people's lives involved here. We can't just go with the flow.
Right.
I agree.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like I said, the thing is you know, you definitely should sit down, especially if you know you're going to get married, you want to get married. They don't have a choice in whether you're going to do that or not. But
right.
They need to know what type of person are you bringing into the household and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, but like I said, in that relationship, that I was just spoke to you guys on my experience, there was a case where the auntie, her sister, was trying to say, well, he must be trying to touch them and all this, you know, I mean, all this stuff. And there was nothing going on. I swear to you, nothing like that was going on. But I get tired of people thinking that, okay, he's somebody, so we got to make sure of this or whatever. Well, if you didn't know all that in the beginning, then why'd you let me in or anybody in for that matter? And it's not up to your family members. You know,
yeah.
It's not up to your family members. It's up to you and that person, the relationship you have with them. You know, you need to sit down, like you said, and talk with the kids and make sure that they understand what you're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, because they're going to trust you because they figure your mom does. Their mom does. So
exactly.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
You do something differently because you ain't really checked this guy or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Or lady.
But
it can be with the women, too.
But then if you're also doing things as a family prior to marriage, prior to not just focusing on the woman or not just focusing on the men, but saying, hey, let's do some family things together, that makes the kids more comfortable too, because it says to them that you're not just interested in only the mom,
that you
want to have a relationship with them as well, you know, and
mm-hmm.
that to me makes a difference too. But it's really all, and I'm speaking from a mom perspective. It's up to me because my ex husband had children when I met him, and I had children when he met me. My children, I dared them to get out of line with him. I dare you because you're going to have to not only deal with, you got to deal with me. And I'm worse than him because he don't really know you that well and he's not going to lay hands on you. But me, I am. So they didn't have a choice but to respect him, and they still do to this day. And he still refers to them as his children even though we aren't together. He doesn't say
right.
stepchildren. He says
right.
his children.
Yep.
You know, and I think that makes a difference. You want the child to feel close. And as I said, I am a stepchild as well. My stepfather initially was call me dad. And then when he would get mad at my mom, it's like, I'm not your daddy. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe we should
just
going to call you by your first name.
I ain't going to call you at all.
That's crazy.
I think it does start with the mother. Like I said, I don't have stepchildren, but I am a stepchild on both ends. And my mother made it very clear, but my stepfather has been around forever. And I only call him stepfather when I'm in settings like this so one can be clear that it's really not my father. But other
exactly.
than that, and if you see
right.
him, it is clearly that he's not my father because he's Parisian. He's a white man from Paris with blue-green eyes.
Oh.
So you know off the top he's not my father. But him and my mother have been together forever before I
turned five. That shit might have jumped. It might have jumped generations. He could be your dad.
So my sister and I, we called him daddy. It wasn't
right.
I don't even remember at what point. I don't even remember saying you can call him daddy. Being that he was there since we were babies, daddy is just what it's been. So,
right.
And it's possible to have a stepfather, if you will, and not have them touching you because my father, my sister and I, we're 15 months apart. We are in our 40s now, but we would walk around the house with T-shirt and panties on with daddy just there. He's never stepped out of line with us. So, you know, it is, you know, people always think that's a thought. But, you know, there are good men, stepfathers, if you will, out there who are not doing that.
No, that's right. Every man is not trying to sleep with your daughter.
Right.
That's just
not
the over-sexualization of black men at work right there. Because the fact assuming that.
Right. And I know in the past you've had Uncle So-and-so touch so-and-so,
yes.
whatever. I know it goes on in the black family, which is another subject we can bring on the show. But the thing is not everybody is interested in trying to screw somebody's daughter or touch them, you know?
No, I
you know, you have
that
to even be careful how you hug them and stuff, too. I don't try to, like I have someone that I'm seeing now that I'm, you know, they have children, they're teenage girls, and I watch how I hug them and stuff. Not to, you know, I just don't want to give them any kind of indication or anything like that to think that there's anything going on like that, because it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they have it in their mind, because sometimes, believe it or not, the kid might think that.
Yeah.
You know, that, okay, this is a guy, and I'm feeling boys now, and, oh, you know, it goes both ways. It's not just one-sided. But anyway,
that is something
I just try
to
make sure.
To deal with when Harvey and I got together. That's something we had to deal with because he had four sons. And when he met me, I was a size, I was smaller, and I was in, I didn't, you know, I just dressed like a young, a mid-20-something would with the hot pink heels and tight clothes and stuff. And the first time his oldest son met me, he just stared. Like, he barely even said anything, and I didn't understand what was happening. And so I asked Horace later, I was like, is he okay? And he's like, I think your hot pink shoes just rocked his world, and he doesn't really know what to do about that. And because he's 13 and he's realizing I don't see girls that wear, you know, hot pink shoes. And so when all of my boys went through puberty, I made a really conscious effort. It was baggy sweats, baggy T-shirts. I always wore bra in the house. There was no let me scoop from the bathroom in my towel, just because they're boys. They're going through puberty. It's natural. Their father is married to a woman who is not their mother, who is not related to them. And I just, you know, there were times when Horace would say, hey, keep your eyes in your head, because they're boys. And but it was never something where I was afraid or he was afraid. It was just the onus, like you said, is on the parent to make sure that their conduct is above reproach. And you got it. I mean, little girls sometimes have crushes on their uncles because they don't know any better. They say, oh, daddy, I'm going to marry you, because they don't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it really is innocent at the heart. And as long as the parents keep a lid on it and make sure that everything's appropriate, it never goes in the other direction. And which is why the only child I ever really hugged was my youngest stepson, because not because he had autism, but that was just part of his love language. That's the way he and I interacted. My oldest son, after he got over the pink shoes, our relationship was fantastic. And so, you know, that's something he was comfortable with. My other boy.
You had to deal with autism as well? My God.
I know. She is.
Why don't you write a story about you?
I'm working on that. It's in the hopper. He has my youngest stepson has autism. Actually, I just found out my oldest biological son has autism, and I'm pretty sure my youngest daughter will as well. So, but, you know, there are certainly worse things, and, you know, it's all good. It's a lot, but it's all good. And
that's,
I'm only 36.
Is Miss Gaffney still is Miss Gaffney still here?
She had a headache, so she bowed out because she really wasn't feeling
well. That was her
that
dropped off? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to she was the one that kind of approached me about getting you guys on the show. That's the reason why I was going to say, you know, this was – I was hoping that I was doing what she wanted here. Because, you know, she was adamant about not cussing, and, no, I'm just playing. I'm just messing with y'all. But, because I do get raw. Y'all need to listen to the show and come back, you know, when you can be raw and use a pseudonym, and you don't got to use your real name and shit, and just be on the show. You know what I'm saying?
This is about
it'll
as raw
fun
as I get, so.
Oh, man. He is funny.
But y'all are very interesting women. I must say, y'all are very interesting women, and I'm having a great conversation. And Cotton, I thank you for bringing this subject up. As always, you always bring such great subject matter for us to speak on. And I never know. I never want her to tell me prior. She's done that before. Whenever she comes up with a subject to talk about on the show, I always want to get it just like everybody else is getting it, and then we just bring it out. So,
yeah.
But what I want to do now, because we've got like 20 minutes. We're not through talking yet, but go ahead and say what you had to say, and then we'll go into this.
I was just going to say real quick, I just heard someone said the other day that the thing for black men is they've been told not to date a woman with children these days. Don't get involved with a woman that has, don't get serious or don't marry a woman who has children. So I was like,
why is
what?
That?
Why is that? You know, I kind of took offense because I remember being younger and I had three children, and I met a guy who had, I think he just had two, and he was like, you know, it's difficult to date a woman who has so many children. And I thought, now he has five. I mean, I only have four, but now he has five plus a stepchild. So it's like, you got more kids than me now. And mm-hmm. What would you say to a woman now if she told you she didn't want to date you because you have children, or marry you because you have so many children?
Well, first of all, how are you gonna marry somebody? Because and don't take this negative, women, but the majority of women's got at least two kids now. When you get with them,
true.
So how are you gonna marry somebody? How are you gonna not get with somebody? Most of the time, to me, what I've been hearing, I guess because I'm older, a lot of guys will say, if a woman ain't got no kids or something, what's wrong with her?
Wow.
So why would you tell somebody that don't marry her because she got so many kids? Or is it because they don't want to get into drama with the baby daddy? Or what is it? What is the issue? I don't get that.
That would be my assumption, that they're probably assuming that there's going to be drama with the ex, whoever he or they might be, because those relationships
right.
are so tricky. And a lot of my friends who are currently unmarried that have children, one of the things that they, even though they're dating and the men that they date never have a problem with the children, if the ex is a fool and he may not have presented as a fool at the time of conception, it may have been something that was dormant and just came out when she found out she was pregnant, who knows. But a lot of time, when the woman is doing all she can to manage the situation, but the guy just won't relent in his stupidity, the guy who's trying to be there is like, his hands are tied because, you know, you can't tell her, you know, you got to cut dude off altogether because those are still his children. But at the same time, if he feels like they can't move forward, then the relationship can't continue. But to make a blanketed statement not to date women with children is just as stupid as, you know, not to date a man unless he has this credential, or not to date a woman unless she has this bra size or whatever. I mean, that stuff is just ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, I would
really?
Say.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing. Because that's crazy.
Okay.
It's ludicrous. It's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I've been married a couple of times, and they had kids, and we just dealt with it. I mean, if you really care about each other enough, like I said, the one was fucked up. The relationship I told you about was off, but you know that even lasted 7 years. So you know, it was just how bad you want to do it. I'm one of those kind of guys that. If I'm with you, I'm with you, and I have to burn out on you I have to be where I can't take anymore. I have to get to the point where I just can't take anymore before I give out. And I have never shacked. Every woman I've lived with, I was married to. So I just feel like, okay, the kids are part of her. So
mm-hmm.
you have to make it work. And that's what you do. And you try to be that example as best as you can in front of them. You know, and know that you've done everything that you could possibly do. If it doesn't work, you know you did everything that you could in God's eyes is the way you do it. So, that's how I handle it. And that's the way in the relationship I'm in right now. You know, there's two baby daddies. But, you know, one of them's crazy. The other one is not really around. But the one with the one kid, he's the most craziest of all, and that's the youngest kid. So he's acting really silly. But other than that, you know, as long as he stays out of my face, it's not an issue. And as long as she's not putting that priority of what they're fighting in, and I see that it makes it look like they're fighting to get back at each other because they really want to still be together. If I see something
mm-hmm.
like that, then I'm going to be like, well, no. You know, I'm not going to be involved because y'all are using this kid as a pawn to get back at each other when you really want to be together and you just don't know how to do it, so you're going to use this, you know. I'm not going to be in that. But other than that, I will be loyal and be that guy if you want me to be that guy. So, and like I said, I will show the kids. They'll see that I'm for real, not trying to be whatever. But, you know, it's going to take that woman to also show that as well with the kids and say, look, this is what it is. So.
Yeah, that's key.
True.
But,
very
cool. So Cotton. Was that you that brought that last question? That was you that brought the last question about she said that somebody told you that not to date a woman with kids? I know nobody didn't tell you that.
No, he was just saying, the guy was just saying in general that that's the general rule these days is to not,
I just don't see how that can be a rule with the way society is now. The average woman is going to have at least one or two children now. I mean, it's just the way it is, unless she's a little girl just getting out of high school and hasn't had a child yet, most majority, if they're between the ages of 25 and 30 or something, they're going to at least have one.
Right.
So,
and also
how you going to do that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And also with the current age group, I guess the age group that just keep it with who's on the phone, there you may have a grandchild in the mix now at this point in the game.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you
I
know,
have
like,
two
at
grandkids.
This point, our age
I got
not
three.
Do that.
I got three.
I'm only 36, but I got two.
Yeah, like at this point in the game, our age cannot
you
possibly 36? Effectively do that.
Yes, I'm 36,
okay,
and my oldest,
well,
my oldest stepson has two.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and y'all gonna dog me. I'm gonna go on and do it. Okay, I'm 52, and I'm 52, and my fiance is 37. Okay.
Oh.
All right.
So
I
have a son.
You like my father.
I have a son that
father.
Yeah, I have a son that's 31. Okay, and you know,
right,
whatever. Huh? I mean, 25-year-old daughter. You know,
I have a stepmother, and I'm older than she is.
Okay.
So there go the dynamics
different.
Of my.
Wow.
but since we're talking that, I don't think it's wrong to be in relationships like that as long as y'all are able to have a connection and be able to talk and conversate and do things.
Exactly.
What is your thought on that, huh?
I think it's age mates.
Age is really a number. It's all it is. It doesn't have anything to do with maturity, but, you know, you
exactly.
got people that. Now, I've been in a relationship with people my age, and they was jacked up as hell.
Lord,
that happened.
Didn't know nothing. Stupid as a motherfucker. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, you know, it just depends on the person and what they've been through, I guess. You know, go ahead. You said age difference did what?
It's not the same age difference, but my husband is 4 years older than me, and I love every bit of it because males and females, I don't care what y'all say, we mature differently. Males mature slower than females.
Mm-hmm.
And so with him, you know, he's just a few months behind me when it comes to maturity, as opposed
to same age.
I'm sorry, I love it. You know what I'm saying? I love
you say
that.
You say you're older than him?
Yeah.
No, he's 4 years older than me. Mentally or day,
mentally,
maybe so. Yeah, but real talk,
you know,
I love that he is older than me. I
well,
love
like I said, she's 37, but she, to me, she acts like, I mean, and the way she reasons and do things, you know, I'm not even looking at it for that reason, but I'm just saying, just because she's 37 doesn't mean that she can't handle me, because she can, okay? And she's handling situations just as if she was the same age as me or even older. So, I mean, I don't look at the point of age. It's just the maturity level of that person, you know. Now, I wouldn't go out there and date somebody younger than that unless I just want to have fun in the games. And that's all it is just fun and games. You make it known to that person. But, you know, I'm past that now. So my thing is, you know, 15 years to me would probably be the youngest I would go, as far as if I was gonna, you know, be with someone seriously. So, you know, that's just me. But you know, some people they do what they do, whatever, that's their business.
Yeah.
But you're right, women do mature. I think every year it's like y'all got 7 years on us, so on maturity. You know what I'm saying? So,
what is that?
I'm not trying to make it like dog years. I knew that was coming. No, I'm just saying that y'all have that maturity level over men. You just do. You 36 years old, you probably got more on me. You know what I'm saying? And it just depends on where your lifestyle has been and what you have done in your life. But that doesn't mean that, you know, just because you're 36 that I know more than you because I'm 52. Doesn't mean a thing.
And I think that's why my
right.
husband and I, our dynamic is what it is, because we're only 5 years apart. But when I was a freshman in high school, he was a father by then, even though we're only 5 years apart. And so based on the fact that he'd been a dad for 20-plus years, that gives him – that we joke about it sometimes, where it seems like at times he's like 10, 15 years older than me sometimes, but based on the fact that I was able to, you know, finish high school, go off to college, and have other experiences that he sacrificed so that he could be home with the children, it's like we even each other out in different ways. But
and that's what a relationship is, and that's what it
exactly.
should be.
Yeah.
What's missing
balance.
Here, that person has, and it balances out. And
mm-hmm.
that doesn't necessarily have to be age. It can be
right.
any other street smart or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yep.
That's what people need to look at in a relationship instead of, well, they're too young. I can't deal with them, you know. No, it's not even that. To me, it's about what you guys bring to the table as far as a balance in the relationship.
The balance.
I think that's why those people are single, because they have this, like, there's this thing that goes around the internet. I see it on Facebook all the time where people say, you know, we can't date if you dot, dot, dot. Now, some of it's, like,
right.
funny and meant to be joking, but sometimes I wonder how serious are you about these arbitrary things that you will not tolerate in a relationship? Because if that's the case,
right.
you're really shrinking the pool arbitrarily. And
mm-hmm.
the ideal person for you might have that one trait that, like, tap dances on your last nerve. But if you can ignore
right.
that and focus on the rest of it, you might luck out and get what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I try to tell people
wow.
that all the time. Thank you so much for saying that.
Right.
who I won't say, but is a family member, and they're always, yeah, well, he got to be this and he got to have that. I said,
yeah.
okay, my husband is nothing that I asked for and everything that I needed, honey, and I love
Word.
Every
there
minute
you go.
Of that.
Word.
Wow. And guess what? I hate to end it on that, but I am, because what I want to do right now, we got like 7 minutes. I want to give you all a chance to tell people how to get your book, and if they want to get you for a book signing or for anything, how they can do that. So if we can have y'all do that real quick.
I'll start. This is Denise. Go ahead. This is Denise Kelly. My pen name is D.A. Kelly, which is my initials. My publishing company is One Karma Publishing with Tiffany Jones Lockridge. And right now I'm in my editing stages, so when the book comes out, I think I should be done September of this year. And you can go to One Karma, you can go to Amazon, it'll be out everywhere. The title is going to be 70 Times 7, The Road to Forgiveness.
Wow. Bring it out on September 1st, that's my birthday.
Mine is the 6th.
All right.
That's already a birthday gift to me.
You know, so there's a lot of, and not just saying this, but there's a lot of creative Virgos out there. Zane's a Virgo. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, I mean, Rashonda's a Virgo. I mean, it's just everybody's, they're creative folks. And I'm not just saying it because I am, but it's true. Anyway, go ahead.
It's true. So it'll be D.A. Kelly, because in Rashonda's book, I use my name, just Denise A. Kelly. But my pen name for my novels is D.A. Kelly.
Well, you know, when your book comes out, I want you to get back with me before it comes out so we can get you on the show and talk about your book, okay?
Okay.
Because I have plenty of segments available that I would love to have you guys, you know, come back whenever you have your projects and stuff coming on. And just get with me on Facebook and we can get that done.
Okay,
so okay, anybody
cool.
else, real quick?
Caria, you can get the Motherhood Diaries, too, on Amazon.com. And browngirlspublishing.com. Also, if some of us have been purchasing the books and we can sell them, we get the books from Brown Girls Publishing. So if you're in our cities, you know us, and you can get the books that way just from us personally. Also, there's another project that I am hoping that I will be a part of. I've already submitted, and if I am fortunate enough to be added to that one, you'll definitely want me on your show for that part. So, yes, I'm a church girl.
Oh, my God.
And every bit of the word. So, anywho.
Okay.
I'm fine for that project,
too. So
right.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
just because you said you was a – what's a church girl got to do with sexual girl? Okay, I mean.
You'll see if I'm added to the book.
Is it erotic fiction that you added to, or is it erotic Christian fiction or whatever, some new genre?
Oh, God.
New
genre. You just made a new genre. Probably no. Most of the preacher's girls and how they could be. So,
okay.
Well,
just get back with me on. Just get back with me. Friend me on Facebook, and we'll keep
definitely
up with me, and we'll get you on, okay?
Definitely.
All right, who else?
MrsCaria.com. I'm sorry, MrsCaria@Hotmail.com. I'm done.
Okay.
This is Denise Leora Madre, and I'm also featured in the Motherhood Diaries 2. I have many projects in various stages of completion, but if you are interested in Twilight fan fiction, you can find me at fanfiction.net. My username is Lady Libre, LadyLibre. And you can also join me at my blog for all kinds of merriment, and the blog address is Denise Getting to Yes. At, I'm sorry, DeniseGettingToYes.blogspot.com. blogspot.com, where I talk about books and family and television and anything that pops into my head.
Okay, well, just let me explain this real quick before we get whoever else left that need to speak. Word Sexy Radio is not just erotic fiction. We talk about everybody. Everybody can come on here and whatever genre we discuss. It just happened to be Word Sexy because, you know, I was writing all the garbage. But anyway, all right. So who else is left? Anybody else?
That's still it? Here.
Okay, Cotton, what you got going on? Let's get one little thing because I know you got something coming up. You got Summer Love and all that. What you got coming on?
I got Summer, and I'm hoping that you will definitely be there along with some of your people. Because I want this event to be great. Summer Love can
be. I might even broadcast. I'm thinking about broadcasting. We'll talk about it.
We should. Because I got the steppers going on in that. But I have my most recent book that I released a few months ago is called 10 Reasons Why Black Men Stop Dating Black Women.
I know y'all got something to say about that. I should have had my music going on that one.
Say
the title again, Cotton. Do the title one more time. What is it again?
10 Reasons Why Black Men Stop Dating Black Women.
Okay. All right. And I want to know. I saw a picture earlier with this white woman, and this dude had on it, "This is the reason why y'all black women ain't getting," you know, and she was doing some, you know, whatever. Anyway, I'm like, let's go. All right. That's fine. We'll just leave that alone.
What was the name of that poem that you recited earlier? I'm sorry if I
go ahead with the poem.
What was the name of that poem you recited earlier?
It's titled His Love. I'll post it in Word Sexy so you can because that's not out yet. That's coming in my next coming in my next poetry book. So
okay, right on.
I wanted to kind of display it a little bit because I've been working, and I thought it was very powerful to some of the things that take place as far as us women and men are concerned, because we find those men that have been hurt, and we don't know how to help them, but the truth is that God is working on them, and our job is just to come in and be that woman that he needs to be.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm still snapping my fingers about that.
Wasn't the reason why black men don't date black women?
Yeah, we want to definitely know. We're going to talk about that next week.
A lot of us don't do that.
And we definitely want all of y'all to come back. We thank you. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of this interview once it comes out here in about 30 minutes. And we will post it on your pages or somewhere you can get it. You can actually go to Word Sexy or just come to Red Snapper's page and it'll be there for you, okay?
your choice would change what I make. What if I told you that sacrifice is the only way? Who would I be? Yeah, I'd be someone who really cares about what life would mean without negativity. People not living long enough to see their dreams. God, green earth and what it really worth to you and me. For the better that God
I'll be. For the better you and me. Oh, how I wish that someday you'd come to me. Oh, how I pray for time I stay. And no more
pray for you, pray for me, pray again.
Could make this happen, but who would I be? Oh, how I wish.
Tuesday, just standard time, 8 o'clock. Words